On paper, Warren may seem like your everyday northern New England town. The name is even commonplace, as there's a town called Warren in every New England state, and its traditional square shape resembles many others in New Hampshire. But you just need to drive to the town center to notice that this Warren stands out, like this guy noticed, who stopped by and posted a video on YouTube.
Stopped in the town of Warren, New Hampshire. There's a big rocket on like the town green. That thing's huge.
He's talking about an actual 83-foot missile that stands as tall as the town's one and only church that the missile neighbors. It's one of several sites that might seem very out of place for small town Warren, but residents here have, for the most part, embraced these landmarks. Warren's first 150 years were pretty ordinary. The town was granted its charter on July 14, 1763, and soon after, small mills popped up along the town's Baker River. But it took a tuberculosis outbreak at the turn of the 20th century for Warren to make its mark on New Hampshire. The state needed a place to treat its growing number of sick patients, and according to New Hampshire historian Stuart Wallace, distant Warren proved to be an ideal place.
Keep in mind that in the 19th century, very often the assumption was that simply good clean air would cure your problems. In the case of tuberculosis, the hope was that the good clean air of a place like Warren, New Hampshire would cure you. And you're also quarantining people. You're putting them far away from other people.
The Glencliff Sanatorium opened its doors in 1909 and for decades employed many of the residents of Warren. Janice Sackett worked there for 32 years.
The people were very lonesome for their family, so we kind of became their family. If they needed clothing, I would do the shopping for them. They raised their own food. They had a piggery. They had their own dairy. The neighbor had big gardens and fruit trees up there. So they were really self-sufficient.
Antibiotics began to control the disease in the 1940s, and by 1970, the Glencliff Sanatorium became the Glencliff Home for the Elderly. Nearly a decade after the sanatorium opened its doors in Warren, another resident was breaking ground on a museum that would make the small town of Warren stand out once again.
If you were to find a place anywhere in the world where you would least expect to find African artifacts, it would be Warren, New Hampshire.
And it's all because of Warren resident Ira Morris. Morris made his fortune in the shoe business, and with his earnings, took several worldwide trips, including a few to Africa. Each time he came back, he brought with him treasures, from the mounted heads and taxidermed bodies of the animals he hunted to dozens of exotic artifacts. In 1926, he came back to Warren, bought some land, and built the Morris Museum to house his collections. Longtime residents Don Bagley and Norman Rue remember a magical place nestled right in their tiny town.
As you walk up there, there was two lions on both sides of pillars, this gong that you had to ring the gong.
And there was rhino heads on the wall. There was about every animal that you could think of in Africa was either the skin was there, the head was there, or they were actually had the whole animal stuffed.
You know, every time I went around there, every morning you saw something different you didn't see before.
When Ira Morris died, the museum was passed on to his son, and when he died in 1991, the Morris Museum and all of its artifacts were sold off. Don Bagley, president of the Warren Historical Society, remembers that day.
The building was closed and sold off, with over 500 bidders from as far away as Alaska. The museum sold for $44,000 to a person in Maine. This was a sad day for Warren. You know, it's like the missile. I mean, all of the kids' lives, it was here.
But that Redstone missile, or rocket, there's a big debate in town over what you call it, lives on. It all began in 1971 with a resident named Ted Aslin. Aslin was stationed at the U.S. Army Redstone Arsenal facility in Huntsville, Alabama. It was there that he noticed several obsolete rockets. Warren Selectman, Norman Rue, picks up the story.
So he talked with some people and said, you know, you can get one of those. All you got to do is pay the shipping. They will give it to a town. So Ted did some politicking. I took it to town meeting in 1971, where it was accepted by the town to accept the missile.
Aslin got a truck with a 60-foot trailer, hired a driver, and drove the rocket from Huntsville, Alabama, to Warren, New Hampshire, where a team of local residents worked to raise it on the town green.
There's a lot of people that help there, and I call them Yankee engineers. These local guys and girls engineered this. This missile sits on an I-beam that runs almost 70 feet through the center and on four I-beams that are cemented down in the ground.
But over the years, some have squabbled that a missile next to a church sends a bad message. When the rocket fell into disrepair in the mid-1980s, some residents called it an eyesore, and the town voted to have it moved out. But local supporters came together, painted the rocket, and convinced the opposition to keep it in town. For its 250th celebration, the anniversary committee has made commemorative mugs, T-shirts, and even special license plates that they have permission to use until the end of the year. They also made a quilt for the Sester Centennial with 24 squares depicting special places in Warren, including the state's one-time home for TB patients, the exotic Morse Museum, and a giant red stone rocket. Three unordinary landmarks that were looking for a home and found it in the ordinary town of Warren. For New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Keith Shields.